Hi, I'm Sarah Flower, and thanks for listening to KSUT. Today, we continue our coverage of ballot measures on this year's 2020 ballot with the League of Women Voters. Today, I am honored to be interviewing Karen Sheik, the president of the League of Women Voters for the state of Colorado, also based over in Cortez. Karen, thanks for joining us here today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
I think this is really important to talk about this from a regional perspective. The ballot seems so heavy. And as we have that blue book that's sent out with all of these measures and amendments to take a look at, it seems really complicated and sometimes hard to digest. So I appreciate this opportunity to kind of scale it back and look at what all of these mean. So today, what we'll be talking about are the four amendments that are on our ballot this year. Karen, let's start with how the measures appear on the ballot with the Constitutional Amendment B. This one is tricky and pretty complex and has a lot of backstory to it. Karen, if you could break down Amendment B, what does it mean if you support and what does it mean if you oppose?
Okay, Amendment B is modification of property taxes. This is a ballot issue that was put onto the ballot by a two-thirds partisan vote of the Colorado Assembly. It's basically designed to repeal the Gallagher Amendment. Gallagher Amendment was passed in 1982 that sets the proportion of property taxes collected from residential property and commercial property. And the major provisions of this particular amendment are that it will repeal the constitutional provision that requires a 45% to 55% split, 45 for residential, 55 for property. It repeals the requirement that the non-residential rate, that would be primarily property tax, at 29%, and it repeals the requirement that the General Assembly, on a periodic basis, adjust property tax rates. I mentioned just briefly about the background. Gallagher was passed in 1982. It basically kind of arbitrarily set up that 45-55% ratio. Probably one of the most important things about this amendment is that this was proposed and voted in place at a time when residential assessment rates were about 21%. Because residential property values have increased more rapidly than business property values, it was really creating a burden for property owners. And the desire was to get that rate down so that it wasn't at that 21% rate. The problem with it is, however, that property values vary across the state. While residential rates may be increasing at a much higher rate in larger metropolitan areas, that's not necessarily the case in the more rural areas. I think it's important to note that there are a number of services that are governmental services that are paid for on the basis of property tax revenues. These include things like your fire protection, your police, your hospital districts. Some of that property tax goes to your city and your county governments. When you have a rate that's in place that is continually being ratcheted down, particularly for those of us that live in rural areas, it cuts the revenue that is generated and pays for these services to the point where it's very, very difficult for those institutions to have enough funding to be able to provide the services at the level at which we need to provide them. Schools are included in this as well. I'm sure everybody's aware that a big proportion of your school funding comes through property taxes. Now, it is true that local voters can go to the polls and change those rates for individual entities like fire protection districts, for example, or school districts. But truthfully, what happens when you talk about increasing people's taxes, their eyes get big and the natural response is, no, we don't want to do that. And so because Gallagher works in a way that as values increase, it begins to ratchet down the percentage that we pay for property tax. Right now, the property tax rate for residential property is 7.15%. What would happen if this amendment is not passed is that when the legislature gets ready to, they readjust those rates periodically, that in 2021, we're looking at reducing those property tax rates to 5.88%. When we talk about the ballot issue and those who favor it, say that number one, Gallagher is arbitrary. It uses a statewide average, and while that may work for Denver metro area, I'm way down here in Southwest Colorado, which is more rural, it doesn't work as well for us here. Keep in mind that the repeal of Gallagher is not a tax increase. It simply freezes the residential assessment rates to their current level so that they don't drop. And further reductions in the future, of course, would be limited. Those who are opposed to the passage of this amendment say that the cost of living in Colorado continues to go up. And by not having this in place, you know, over time, we're just going to continue to pay more tax. They are saying that because it would drop in 2021, they're looking at it as being a tax increase. And some are also concerned that the Colorado residential assessment rate has remained the same through the years, while Colorado tax assessment rate, those taxes have dropped. But by repealing Gallagher, this isn't going to do anything to help businesses now.
Well, thanks for breaking that one down and clearing up both sides of support and against that. So that was Amendment B, the Gallagher Amendment. The next one I want to jump into, Karen, is Amendment C, which is interesting as it's on a statewide ballot. And I'd like for you to talk about this. This is about the Colorado Constitution, the conduct of charitable gaming activities. Talk about what Amendment C is and how it affects us and how it's on the state ballot.
Yeah, this really focuses on a small area of the state. This is a refer proposal again from the legislature with the aim to amend the Colorado Constitution as it applies to charitable gaming activities. Charitable organizations can apply for bingo raffle licenses. This allows them to be able to raise funds. And what the major provisions of this amendment are is it would allow bingo raffle licensees to be able to hire managers and operators of games of chance, rather than having this just be strictly a volunteer activity. These organizations could actually hire somebody who has the expertise and the experience to be able to do that. And it also reduces the required period that a charitable organization has to have been in existence. It drops it from 5 years down to 3 years. Currently, nonprofit organizations have been required to conduct these raffle activities strictly using volunteers. And again, they've had to have been an organization that's been in business for a minimum of 5 years. And if they are going to hire a manager or operator, they can pay that individual no more than minimum wage. Those in favor say that it would allow more opportunities for nonprofits to be able to consider having bingo and raffle activities in order for them to raise funding for that organization. And it now would give these organizations the choice to be able to compensate their volunteers, pay those folks, as opposed to strictly being volunteers that do that. Those who are opposed say that paid workers will take funds away from those charitable organizations. And it would basically mean then that instead of all of the money that was raised being used strictly for the purposes of that organization, that some of those funds would go to paying managers or people who are operating the bingo or raffle activity for the charitable organization.
Karen Sheik, president of the League of Women Voters for the state of Colorado, thanks so much for joining us here today on KSUT for part three in our four-part series covering the ballot measures for this year's election. For KSUT News, I'm Sarah Flower.